Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Pick and Roll Podcast. And today I've got a good one for you guys. This is a March Madness special. I have done a lot of research and so some really important statistical facts to take into account for these March Madness brackets. I've watched at least every single day, if it's 10 minutes of every single team, even the low level teams that won their conference championships and got automatic bids, I've watched 10 minutes of them as well. I have a really good feel for this March Madness bracket, and I have some really fun stats for you guys, and I can really narrow down to a few teams, statistically speaking, that are the only ones that can win the bracket based on historical statistics. So, you know, really, really good informative stuff that's going to be coming for you guys. I'm really, 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 this is going to be really so good. So I'm going to go through the statistics first and break down some of the things that I'm thinking. And then after I go through these statistics, then we'll go ahead and quickly go over very quickly rate how my top 24 teams that got automatic bids, no, that won their championships, that are the lower level teams to kind of be your March Madness teams that can blow up a bracket, win a few games, pull off the upsets, the things everybody loves from March Madness. Have all of those teams ranked 1 through 24. So in my personal eye test opinion and, you know, some research opinion. So yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun. So let's go ahead and let's start ticking into these statistical facts. Okay. So teams entering the NCAA tournament in the top 10 of KenPom offensive efficiency and the below 100 in defensive efficiency have been 7-20. In the first round and have never made it to the Sweet 16. This is not like, oh, in the past 5 years. No, this is since KenPom's been around. These 29 teams that have fit the statistical measures have been 7-20 in the first round. So that's a really low, not very winning record. And they've never made the Sweet 16. And the teams that fit these are Kentucky and Alabama. Now, not a lot of people are going to be really high. Alabama's a 4 seed. Not a lot of people are in love with them. But Kentucky, that's very surprising stuff. So Kentucky, a team that you might think, oh my goodness, Elite Eight, Final Four, they're going to blow up my bracket. No, they're not. No, they're not. It's surprising. I know. I understand. I've watched a lot of them play games, and they can't guard anybody to save their lives, but they're offensively superpowered. You know, but yeah. So again, Kentucky and Alabama fit in the statistic where they have gone historically 7-20 in the first round and have never made the Sweet 16. So that means if they do get out of the first round, they will lose in the second round. So it's a really interesting statistic. It's really fun. And also a team that was really on the border, Illinois has a top 10 offense and the 93rd ranked defense. So put a little red flag near that because that's, hey, that's really on the edge there. All right, so now that I've told you a really nice, interesting statistic that you can really exit a few teams off of your bracket that you may have believed in to make some runs, this is really the cream of the crop, right? Do you want to know who are the teams that can win a national championship? Because I am going to statistically prove that there is only 6 teams that can win the national championship this year. And that is statistically proven throughout history based on some historical context of facts. All right, let's go ahead and kick it to the first one. Let's start exiting off some teams here. Teams in the top 12 of the Week 6 AP poll have won the national championship since 2004. The 12 teams that were in the top 12 of the AP poll were Arizona, Kansas, Purdue, Houston, UConn, Baylor, Marquette, Creighton, North Carolina, Gonzaga, Oklahoma, and Tennessee. No Iowa State there. Big two seed. They already got exited out. All right. So now with those 12 teams that are statistically speaking, historically speaking, could win, let's go ahead and go to the next one. Teams for the last 15 years with at least a top 25 KenPom defense have won the national championship. So you got to have at least a top 25 KenPom defense. And we're going to only do the statistic based on the 12 teams that made it through the last statistical reference point. So basically, Houston's in the top 25, Tennessee, North Carolina, UConn, Kansas, Arizona, Marquette, Creighton, Oklahoma did not make it, Gonzaga did not make it, and Baylor did not make it. So for them, the original 12, three just got left off the board. No Baylor, no Gonzaga, no Oklahoma. So we're down to 9 teams now. And then the next statistic is since 1994, teams that have won the national championship have made it to their conference tournament semifinals. Teams that made it to the conference tournament semifinals are Houston, North Carolina, UConn, Arizona, Marquette, and Purdue. So we just lost Creighton, Kansas, and Tennessee. And so, you know, as somebody that was thinking maybe Tennessee could win it all, personally, based on my eye test, it was really saddening to see that. So, you know, we got to take that in. But the 6 teams, statistically speaking, that could win the national championship are Houston, North Carolina, UConn, Arizona, Marquette, Purdue. If you pick somebody else to win the national championship, you're just incorrect. Okay? And then I'm going to go ahead and rank these teams by my eye test of those teams. I have them in different tiers. So we're going to go to the bottom, the worst tier first. And I have this tier titled as I would have to completely rethink basketball if they win. And that is Houston. Houston, they have a 6'7 center. I'm going to say that again. They have a 6'7 center, right? And think about the other 5 teams that are in the grouping that could win a national championship, specifically speaking. North Carolina's got a 6'10 Armando Bacot that's built like a bodybuilder, very good in the post, extremely dominant on the rebounds, right? And they got another guy, 6'9 Harrison Ingram, who's very strong, very built, dominate the rebounds. UConn's got 7'2 Donovan Clingan. Arizona's got a 7-footer. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but he's got a really good post game. Really big. Marquette's got 6'10 Oso Igbaro, who is very athletic, very smooth, got a good floater, can really pass the basketball. And Purdue's got 7'4 Sagidi. Right. So Houston isn't matching up with any of them in the post. And all these good teams in the top tier have great bigs. And on top of that, they're the number one ranked defense. And the reason why it's a gimmicky defense. What I mean by gimmicky is they trap the pick and roll ball handler all the time. Now, when you're facing North Carolina, you trap the ball handler and you want to take the ball out of RJ Davis's hand. Well, now Elliot Cadeau, who's a 6-foot point guard that can really tear you up passing-wise, now you're 4-5, right? Well, actually 4-3, defensively speaking. Right? UConn, you trap the Tristan Newton, boom, now you kick it to Stephon Castle, who's a 6-6 point guard, because now you tried to trap it, and now we can make those passes. And then you do the same thing with Arizona, you trap Caleb Love, then you got to deal with their point guard, who's a really great passer, Kylan Boswell. I forget his name. And they got Marquette. You trap the point guard for Marquette. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but they got a 6'3 point guard, really can pass the poo out of the basketball. They got a center and Oso Igbaro that can, Tyler Koch has a point guard. Oso Igbaro can really pass the poo out of the basketball. And Purdue, I mean, why would you trap the pick and roll and just take bodies away from Zach Giddey? It's just going to not work. Houston's trap the pick and roll defense is gimmicky against non really seasoned teams that are not really elite passing the basketball, that may rely way too much on one individual player. They just don't have many teams in the Big 12 outside of healthy Kansas who did beat them to beat them in that play style. So, you know, but the elite teams, the really elite teams that are left, will destroy them because of 6'7 center and gimmicky defense. All right. Next one is, wow, it would be surprising if they win, and that's Arizona. Arizona's got, you know, Kylan Boswell, Caleb Love, but outside of Caleb Love in their center, their offense is, you know, leaves a lot to be wanted. They got some guys off the bench that are pretty decent, but it's just very okay. Their defense, Caleb Love's okay defender. They've got a power forward that can defend, but outside of that, Arizona's lacks, you know, elite offense or elite defense. They're just a very well-rounded basketball team that's, you know, good size and strong and can rebound the ball well. So, you know, they're a good team. It would be surprising if they win. It wouldn't be mind-blowing, but, you know, and then I have four teams in a group, and the four teams in the group are totally reasonable champions. These are guys that I totally get behind to have winning. Number four, I have ranked Purdue, Zach Edey. They are definitely a better Purdue team than last year. Totally reasonable if they win a national championship. They've got another post pick that they've added from last year as well. They added a Florida State. His number is 55. I can't think of his name, but they added a Florida State guard that can really, a good slasher, get to the rim and defends really well. So they're a better team than they were last year. Number three, I have Marquette. You know, Tyler Kokak, Cam Jones, Osa Igbaba. Man, they pass the poor of the basketball. They got tons of three-point shooting. Really intelligent basketball team. That Osa Igbaba, Tyler Kokak pick and roll is really deadly. North Carolina is my second-ranked team, which is hard to say as a Duke fan, but it's just the reality. They got a great team this year. Blake Hawk, Harrison Ingram, really big, rebound well, shoots three. Anderson Ingram, really shoot it, good passer. RJ Davis is a legitimately elite guard scorer, can pass the basketball. Ellie Cadeau can pass the basketball. They got a guy that bring off the bench that's an incredible defender. They just got a really complete basketball team that defends the poo out of the basketball and scores the basketball extremely efficiently. My number one ranked team, personally, is UConn. UConn's got some special things about them. One, it's Stephon Castle, Donovan Klingon could turn the lights off for you offensively. I mean, what I watched Stephon Castle do against Tyler Kokak, who is probably the best point guard in the Big East, and do against Devin Carter, who is probably the best shooting guard again in the Big East, just like completely shutting them down. He's a 6'6 guy, and most great teams in college basketball have at least one guard that's a really great basketball player, and he could shut him down. Donovan Klingon's a 7'2". I compare him to Roy Hibbert. He's a legitimately freaky rim defender. 7'2", really elite. Can post a little bit if somebody's really small in him. They've got a 6'3", 6'4" guy that can really come off ball screens and really moves really well. And you know, they got Terrence Newton, who's a really elite pick and roll operator, and Stephon Castle was a really nice secondary ball handler. And they got Alex Caravan, who's 6'8", can really shoot the three really well. Deep team, defends really well, great offense, and they just have the right defensive pieces at the right places, because there's just not many college basketball teams this year that have great small forwards. Because small forwards could give UConn issue, but there's just no Brandon Miller with Alabama last year team like that. Every good team's got mostly big and guards, and they just match up so well with those teams. So personally for me, UConn's number one, but again, UConn, North Carolina, Marquette, Purdue, totally reasonable champions. Totally reasonable. But if you pick somebody that's not UConn, North Carolina, Marquette, Purdue, Arizona, Houston to win a championship for whatever reason, you're incorrect, because statistically speaking, historically speaking, it is impossible. All right. So we're going to go through really quickly here of eye test ranking of the 24 teams that won their conference championships that are not big teams, big power five teams, basically. Number one, Grand Canyon. Number two, UAB. Number three, James Madison. Number four, Morehead State. Number five, Drake. Number six, Western Kentucky. Number seven, McNeese State. Number eight, Vermont. Number nine, Duke Wentz. Number 10, Charleston. Number 11, Yale. Number 12, Grambling. Number 13, Long Beach State. Number 14, Samford. Number 15, Stenson. Number 16, South Dakota. Number 17, St. Peter. Number 18, Akron. Number 19, Oakland. Number 20, Longwood. Number 21, Colgate. Number 22, Howard. Number 23, Montana State. Number 24, Merrimack. So yeah, those are some really quick eye test personal opinion rankings. So then the March Madness brackets have been announced. So I'm going to go ahead and pick my March Madness brackets for you guys, with you guys, let you know what I'm going to pick each stage. All right, let's have some fun. So UConn versus Stenson. I got UConn coming out of that really easily. FAU versus Northwestern's one heck of a game. Northwestern's got a, you know, they both got good post players. They both have good movement in their offenses. You know, I do think that FAU runs around a 7-footer, 7-foot-1 guy who's really good. Northwestern also has a 7-footer, so they kind of can defend him. I do think Northwestern's ability to shoot the 3 ball well in this matchup, I think, inches them across this game. I do think this will be an incredibly close game, an incredibly good matchup. Both of these teams are really close. I think this will be like a 4 to 5 point game. So if you want to pick FAU, pick FAU. But I personally think Northwestern's 3-point shooting is going to edge them over FAU. All right, let's go ahead and go to San Diego State to UAB. San Diego State's got a really great defense, got a really good post center, averages like 20 a game. UAB's got some good guards. They really defend really well. They got a 6'9 guy that's really mobile and switchable. The sad thing about UAB is, if I had to preface UAB, I'd be like, man, they defend so well. Well, San Diego State's one of the like top 10, top 20 defensive teams in the country, right? And their center is 6'10", and UAB center is 6'9", but the 6'9 guy's really thin. San Diego center, State center's one of those Hulk-like built guys. So I do think through the center that averages 20 a game and a similar play styles, but San Diego State just being better at that play style leads to me to thinking the San Diego State can beat UAB, even though some people will choose UAB to beat San Diego State in this matchup. I do think San Diego State will come out of this one. Auburn versus Yale. Man, I love Auburn. Poor Auburn gets UConn in their bracket. If they would have gotten Houston, that'd be interesting. But, you know, Auburn's a really great team. They go 10 deep. They got great defense, great offense. They score. They don't rely on one guy, but they got a few guys, like last name Williams. I got Sylvester Williams or something like that. They got a lot of guys who can really score, really strong. They can really defend. This is a very good team. Yale's a pretty good 13 seed, but against a superstar 4-seeded team in Auburn here, that's just, I'm amazed that they're not a 3-seed, honestly, after winning the SEC championship. So Auburn's the real deal. Auburn's coming out of this game. I do think Yale's a good team, but Auburn's just at a different level. All right, let's go ahead to BYU versus Duquesne. So Duquesne is the ninth rated team on my lower level teams that won the conference championships list. BYU is a team that I think sucks. I just don't like the way they play. They have a very reliable and movement offense style. You know, they don't really have a guy that can really shot create consistently. Their centers are okay. They just don't defend that well. I feel like this is a game that, even though Duquesne might not be like a top 5 lower level, not mid major basically team that won the conference championship, it's more so about me not believing in BYU than me super believing in Duquesne. So I have Duquesne coming out of this. So Illinois versus Morehead State. Morehead State, if you listened, is the number 4th ranked team on my mid-majors list of the 24 that I really like. Illinois, man, Terrence Shannon's a dog, and he's a bucket. But there is an issue here. Illinois has the 93rd ranked defense because of one specific reason, if it could be pointed out, is Coleman Hawkins. Coleman Hawkins is a really good 3-point shooter, and I have him on my big board for the mock drafts and stuff like that, but at power forward. He is an extremely thin 6'10 guy, and Morehead State's best player is 6'9, averages 20 and 10 a game. Really skilled, bigger guy is going to give Illinois issues here. And Mark Morehead State's got more than just that center. A lot of guys can shot create. A lot of, you know, they can score with Illinois. But I do think that one strategic matchup against Coleman Hawkins is a real issue. So I personally have Morehead State pulling the upset here, even though Terrence Shannon could will his team to the win here. It's really close. I feel bad for Morehead State that they got a team like Illinois, but it is what it is. All right, let's go to the 7-10 matchup, Washington State versus Drake. Man, Drake's a really good team. Again, on my mid-major ranking, I have Drake ranked 5th. But Washington State, man, Washington State is the real deal. Offensively, they're really good. They got a really great point guard that averages 18 a game. A lot of skilled guards, a lot of people that can shoot the cover off the three ball. They have a really, you know, they still can rebound well. They defend well. I really believe in Washington State as a legitimate team. They are really, really, really good. And you know, they have a good defense too. They have a top 30 ranked defense in the country. So I believe that they're a very good team. I'm surprised, personally speaking, that they're a 7 seed, but I definitely think Washington State beats a very good Drake team that has some very good things about them with their superstar that gives them 20 a game at a small forward position. But I do think Washington State's a really good team. And then I have Iowa State versus South Dakota State. So I have Iowa State coming out of that. I don't think South Dakota State has anything for them. So we'll go ahead and stick it with that bracket and the UConn side of that bracket. So let's go to UConn versus Northwestern. I have UConn beating Northwestern in this game. Northwestern's got some really good bigs. Again, like I mentioned, but Donovan Klingon at the center position guarding their bigs and their overall offensive efficiency from UConn. I feel like UConn's just too much for Northwestern. And Auburn versus San Diego State. I have Auburn coming out of that game. Auburn can defend with San Diego State, but San Diego State can't score with Auburn. Auburn's a really elite team. I'm amazed that they're not a 3 seed. I completely disagree with that. I think they're a 3 seed living in a 4 seed body. I definitely feel like they're an extremely elite team that can beat anybody anytime. And I have them getting to the Sweet 16 facing UConn. And DuQuince versus Morehead State. I have Morehead State coming out of that game. The center, the 6'9 center, that was really good. You know, I feel like DuQuince is a good team. But again, I have my eye test ranking. And Morehead State's the 4th ranked team. And DuQuince is the 9th ranked team. So I personally have Morehead State making this. And then I have Iowa State on upset alert. Look, they have the top 30 ranked defense, so they can defend with Iowa State, who has the second best defense in the country. But Iowa State's offense is very above average-ish. I do think Washington State's offense is better than Iowa State's offense, and I do think that they can easily beat Iowa State in this game. I feel like Washington State's getting a great matchup with this 2 seed. This is probably the worst 7 seed matchup that Iowa State could have possibly drew. It's very, very common for a 2 seed to get beat by a 7 seed at least once in these brackets, and Iowa State's the worst 2 seed that exists. So I have Washington State coming out of this. And UConn versus Auburn, dear goodness, would that be a good game? And yes, could Auburn win that game? Yes, 100% Auburn could win that game. I do feel like UConn's the better team. I do feel like, you know, the lack of a big that's going to really expose UConn is a really tough issue. But I feel like this would be one heck of a game. I would not turn off the TV. This would be a 5-point game, really close. If you think Auburn's going to win, perfectly cool. Perfectly cool, because this is a really tough team. But I do think that UConn would come out of this game in this bracket. I mean, I honestly think Auburn's the second best team in this bracket. So this is one tough matchup. And I do have Washington State beating the 14 seed, Morehead State here. Again, really balanced team, offense, defense. You know, they really can bring it both sides. I really like Washington State in that game. And coming out of the Elite Eight, I have UConn versus Washington State. Again, Washington State's a really good balanced team, got good guards, really good scorer, but facing Stephon Castle, and then their guards have to try to, one of those two guards that are big for them is going to have issues, and then trying to score Donovan McClain at the rim. I feel like UConn's the better team. I feel like UConn makes it to the Final Four out of this bracket. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the next side of the bracket. Also, for the people that like to do the East, South, West, and Midwest sides, that was the East bracket. I'm going to go to the West bracket. So I got North Carolina versus the 16 seed. I feel like North Carolina easily beats the 16 seed. Everybody knows 16 seeds upsets very rarely happen, only once in the history of basketball. Mississippi State versus Michigan State. Man, that would be a good game. Really close game. Mississippi State's coming in hot. I do feel like Michigan State has the talent of a team that's like a 7 seed. They just don't play it consistently, or maybe even a 6 seed. They just don't play consistently. They have injury issues. They've had chemistry issues throughout the year. But I feel like they figured it out as the year's gone on. I feel like they're not really a 9 seed. I feel like they're a 6 seed level talent in a 9 seeded team. And I feel like their experience as well is going to lead them to be able to beat a very hot Mississippi State team. But if you think Mississippi State can win that game, totally reasonable. Yeah. All right, let's go to St. Mary's versus Grand Canyon. St. Mary's has got a really good front court. They rebound really well. They have issues outside of that, offensively speaking. They're reliant on their bigs to score. And Grand Canyon's a really offensively great team. They got a 6'7 dude that can give you 20 a game. That's really tough because most college basketball teams are built to stop the center position or the guard position. So having that small forward that's a really big-time bucket is a real mismatch for most college basketball teams. I do have them ranked number one out of the top 24 mid-major teams. I definitely feel like Grand Canyon would beat St. Mary's in this game. And the next game is Alabama versus Charleston. Now, Charleston may be the 10th ranked team in my bracket, but Alabama is one of those teams that has the, like we've referenced before, that has a top 10 offense in KenPom, but a below 100 defense in KenPom. In the first round, they have been 7-20, teams that meet that statistical parameters, and Alabama is one of them. And they've never made it to the Sweet 16, so Charleston being a pretty solid low-level mid-major, I do think that they beat Alabama, who has statistical history not on their side. All right. Then we have Clemson versus New Mexico. Clemson is defined by PJ Hall. 6'9", 6'10", really great post player, really solid. He spaces the three-point line as well. You know, he's their center. New Mexico is defined by great guard play. New Mexico, in my opinion, I'm not surprised that they won their conference championship. In my opinion, the best eye test team that I've seen in the Mountain West has been New Mexico. I really believe in them eye test-wise. They got great guards, really quick guards. And in the pick and roll against a very tight-hipped PJ Hall that can't guard the pick and roll very well, with great guard play having to be able to defend it against them, I do think New Mexico has a very terrible formula for Clemson to get out of this first round. So I do have New Mexico winning. You know, Baylor versus Colgate. Colgate's a very poor ranked team on my top 24 low-level mid-major teams. They're ranked 21st. Even though I'm not a huge personal believer in Baylor, I do think they come out of this game and they beat Colgate. So then next matchup up, we have Nevada versus Dayton. I do think Nevada has the bigs to deal with Dayton's center. I can't think of the top of his head, but they have a really great center. He's really solid, and I do feel like Nevada's got the right bigs and the right play style. Oh, their center's named Darren Holmes. I do feel like they have the right play style to give this team issues, and I do feel like that Nevada could win this game. All right, let's go to the next matchup, Arizona versus Long Beach State. I have Arizona easily coming out of this matchup. Long Beach State is the, let's see here, ranked 13th on my top 24 mid-major teams. Not an overwhelmingly great team, but pretty solid. All right, let's go ahead and move the top of the West bracket. North Carolina versus Michigan State. This would be a really good game. Play similar styles of basketball. I do.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Do you feel like North Carolina's overall size and offensive skill would be able to push them past this Michigan State matchup? I feel like Michigan State's a good team, but I don't think they're getting past North Carolina here. And then in a 12-13 matchup between Grand Canyon and Charleston, this is easy. Grand Canyon is the number one ranked team on my top 24 mid-majors, and Charleston's number 10. So I feel like Grand Canyon definitely makes it out of this bracket, and I definitely feel like this is a really terrible, I think out of the St. Mary's, Grand Canyon, Alabama, Charleston grouping, I do feel like Grand Canyon is the best team out of that grouping. All right, so let's go ahead and go to New Mexico versus Baylor. New Mexico's got Baylor's best parts is Jalen Bridges and Yavis Missy, 6'9". Jalen Bridges is 6'9", really fluid, really can guard multiple positions, really great defender as their power forward. Yavis Messi is an NBA-level center, really can defend so well. Jacoby Walter, as their lead scorer, does have issues with inefficiencies. Some nights he's shooting poorly, some nights he's not shooting great. And against a very guard-heavy New Mexico lineup, I feel like this is a bad matchup for Baylor. I feel like their guards would give them a ton of issues because they don't have their great defenders at those positions to guard them. So I don't feel like, strategically speaking, New Mexico is a bad matchup for Baylor. So I do think that they get to the Sweet 16 here. So then Arizona versus Nevada. Nevada is a really solid team. They definitely have a good pace of play. Nevada's, you know, got a few good things. But I do think with Arizona's size and Caleb Love and Colin Boswell and their overall defensive gifts, I definitely feel like they would come out of this game against the Wolfpack. All right. So we got Arizona versus, We got Grand Canyon versus North Carolina. I do think North Carolina handles business here. This is where Grand Canyon's run ends. I definitely feel like Grand Canyon is a very good team. I do feel like the 6'9", the 6'10", the post play, and the overall offensive efficiency and defensive ability to shut off the lights would be a good matchup against Grand Canyon. I do think Grand Canyon would keep that in like a 10-point game, but I do think North Carolina is a different tier as a college basketball team. All right, so I got Arizona versus New Mexico. New Mexico's got great guards, but I do think Arizona's overall efficiency, defensively, rebounding, offensively, I feel like they could score with New Mexico. So I do think Arizona would come out of this game. I would have North Carolina versus Arizona in my Elite Eight. So North Carolina versus Arizona, this would be a really great game. I definitely feel like North Carolina is the better defensive team. They have great size. They have great post play. The centers would match up really well. I do feel like this would be a great game. I feel like RJ Davis versus Caleb Love would be great. RJ Davis, more efficient scorer. I do feel like this would be a really close game, but I do think North Carolina's overall defensive efficiency and offensive efficiency would lead them to making the Final Four, where they would eventually face off against UConn. But we'll go ahead and go to the southern bracket that has the one seed Houston next before we go to the Final Four. All right, so Houston versus 16 seed Longwood. Not a personally big believer in Longwood, so I'll go with Houston. In the Nebraska versus Texas A&M matchup, that would be a really great game. I do think Kensai Tuminga is a really interesting player, really would be an interesting guy. I do think, though, that Texas A&M's coming in hot off of a really good win recently. And I do feel like I win against the Kentucky Wildcats, and they offensively look really good in that game. You know, I do feel like they have a little bit more offensive firepower than Nebraska. So I feel like this would be a really great game, but I do think that Texas A&M would pull this game out. All right, so we got Wisconsin versus James Madison. This would be a great 5-12 matchup. Wisconsin's got a really solid offense. They got a 7-footer as well. Really good length, but I do think James Madison, again, my ranking is they are the number 3 ranked team. They're a 30-win basketball team. They got a lot of guards that can really shot create. They've got a really good team. They defend really well. I do think this would be one heck of a game, but I do think that James Madison University would come out atop on this game. All right. Let's go ahead and kick it to the next game, which is Duke versus Vermont. I feel like Vermont beat Duke in the past in one of these matchups. Duke's got Kyle Filipowski, great guard play with Tyrese Proctor, Tyrese Proctor and a few other guards I can't think of off the top of my head. They've got a really good guard oriented offense. Jeremy Roach is a really good senior, really definitely a good player. I definitely feel like Vermont also not having a center trying to guard Kyle Filipowski, who's a really skilled 7-footer, be a real issue. So I do have Duke coming out of this matchup and avoiding the upset watch. Alrighty, so the next matchup is Texas Tech versus NC State. Yo, NC State, man, what a crazy conference tournament run, going from like 11 seed in the conference tournament or like the 10 seed in the conference tournament, winning the ACC tournament. Texas Tech, you know, is starting to get healthy. They're a really solid basketball team. I definitely feel like they have a really good, long, lanky center, which is going to give DJ Horn, who's a really big human being, issues. I definitely feel like their guards are really solid and they really have a good system. So I do think Texas Tech would be NC State coming. I feel like NC State might be emotionally and mentally fatigued as well, coming out of that 5 games in like 5 days or 5 games in 6 days stretch. So, yeah. Okay, and the next matchup is Kentucky versus Oakland. Now, like I did state earlier, Kentucky is one of those teams that does have a top 10 offense and a below 100 defense, which are 7-20 in the first round and have never made the Sweet 16. Facing Oakland, Oakland in my rankings is the, let's see here, 19th ranked team out of 24 of the mid-majors that won their conference tournaments. I do think Kentucky, I don't think Oakland's at the quality of a team that can beat a Kentucky. So I do think that Kentucky escapes this statistical pressure round one. The next matchup is Florida versus Boise State or Colorado. One of those two teams will win and make it into the next round. Now, the tough thing about this is Florida's lost one of their bigs, and they're basically the key part of their team is they lead the country in rebounding. So losing one of their bigs is a really big strategic loss for something that was their strength. So I do think because of that, Boise State or Colorado, whoever wins that first four matchup will beat Florida. All right, we got Marquette versus Western Kentucky. Western Kentucky, I really like this year. My eye test was I had them number 6 out of the 24 teams that I watched. I really like watching them play. So I feel like this would be like a 10 to 15 point game, but Marquette's in a different league. Too good, too veteran to be beaten by a 15 seed level team here. All right, let's go ahead and go back to the top of this bracket. Houston versus Texas A&M. I do think that, like I stated earlier in the podcast, that the type of team that's going to beat them is a big and really veteran team. Texas A&M doesn't check any of those boxes. If you're going to play to Houston's strengths and let them play their style on you, you're not going to win. Houston's too dominant at their own play style to lose to a team that does not have the ability to expose their weaknesses. All right. And the next matchup, James Madison versus Duke. I think this is a really bad matchup because the 7-footer and Kyle Filipowski, again, it's really having such a talented 7-footer against these really good low-level schools. It's really tough. Kyle Filipowski, I definitely feel like they get by. They shoot the 3-ball well. They defend pretty okay. Nothing amazing, but I do feel like there'll be a really great game. But I do think Duke pulls it out and goes into the Sweet 16. All right, so next matchup is Texas Tech versus Kentucky. And like I stated earlier, Kentucky, the teams with a top 10 ranked defense and below 100 in defense in KenPom have never made it to the Sweet 16. So I don't even need to break that down. Texas Tech wins. Congratulations. It's a bye. It's a bye. And even if they face Oakland, Texas Tech would win. Or even if NC State faces Oakland, they would win. And either one of those teams would give them issues anyway because their bigs versus Kentucky's bigs are issues. All right. So Marquette versus Boise State or Colorado. I'd probably say Colorado would come out of that matchup. It would be a really interesting game. But I do definitely think that Marquette with their Tyler Kokek, Cham Jones, Osei Ogbaro, their intelligence, passing, defense, all those things wrapped under one. Marquette's the real deal. They just haven't – most casual fans only watch them when they play UConn, which UConn has their number defensively speaking. if you watch Marquette in different games where they're not facing UConn, you can tell Marquette's the real deal. They're a very elite 2 seed, and I don't see them losing to a 10 seed here. All right, so in the Sweet 16, we got Houston versus Duke. And like I talked about earlier, man, Houston's got a 6'7 center, and they have issues with, I think, their fluky defensive press, the pick and roll style. And this is absolutely, okay, I'm going to say this very out loud. There is no worse 4 seed that exists to face Houston than Duke. It does not exist. This is a terrible matchup because one, LJ Cryer, the 6'7" center guarding a 6'10", now a 7-footer that I compare to Alperen Sengun, where he's elite post skill, shoot the three, handle, pass the poo out of the basketball, and then they run a 3-guard offense. They have 3 guards. They have now Tyrus Proctor is 6'5" and he can really defend, so that's how they get away from a 3-guard offense, but all of them can pass, shoot threes, and so if you're going to double the pick and roll, you know how Duke can really shoot the 3-ball. Really shoot the 3-ball. So if you're going to double somebody in the pick and roll, there's going to be a shooter upper somewhere. And with all the 3 guards that are good passers on top of Kyle Filipowski, who's the best passing center in the country, you got a terrible matchup for the trapping the pick and roll defense because you're playing 4-on-3 and the ball will find the open man. The amount of open looks they'll get against Houston is scary, and the obvious advantage that they'll have with Kyle Filipowski is scary as well. This is a terrible, terrible matchup for Houston, and I do think Duke will come out of this. All right. So we got Marquette versus Texas Tech, and man, this will be a great matchup. I definitely feel like the center for Texas Tech is really athletic, really smooth, but I do think Marquette's overall intelligence, passing, scoring, they got a really good, great defense. I feel like Marquette's in a different tier as a team than Texas Tech, so I do have Marquette coming out of this and going to the Elite Eight. All right, in Marquette versus Duke, it'll be a really good game. You know, Marquette's got really good intelligent passes as well. Ose Agbaro is somebody that could give Kyle Filipowski issues, you know, athletically speaking. He's a really great defender. He's really elite. And I do feel like this will be a really close game, but I do think Marquette's more eliteness defensively would give them a real advantage against Duke. And, you know, I think they would beat them in a very close 5-point game. Marquette beating Duke, making it to the Final Four. And I do also think if Houston does make it and face Marquette, Marquette is, again, a terrible matchup for Houston because Ose Agbaro's, I compare him to, like, Draymond Green offensively, pass the poo out of the basketball. So he's, like, a point center as well. And Tyler Kokoch averages 7 assists a game. He passes the poo out of the basketball, tons of shooting, defend well. I don't think Houston got a terrible bracket where two teams can legitimately beat them so easily because they're just terrible matchups for Houston. All right, let's go ahead and go to the last bracket. This is the Midwest. So we got Purdue versus either Grambling or Montana State. I think Grambling will win that game, but I do think Purdue comes out of that game. I don't feel like it needs to be talked about too much. And the Utah State versus TCU matchup, Utah State can't defend to save their lives, like quickness and speed wise. So, you know, I think TCU's got a lot of quick guards, a lot of athletic players, and I do think that they would score very efficiently against Utah State. So I have TCU winning that game. And Gonzaga versus McNeese, it'd be a really good game, but I do think McNeese has some things about their team where they defend well, they shoot pretty decently, but I do think Gonzaga's overall rebounding, post, great post players, and great overall team, I do feel like Gonzaga can beat McNeese pretty easily in this game. I feel like it could be happening where McNeese could win that game, but I personally think Gonzaga will win. And Kansas versus Gonzaga. Wait, my bad. So sorry. Kansas versus Samford. This is a really tough matchup for Samford because, oh yeah, I should have said this. Samford is ranked 14th out of my top 24 teams on my ranking. Samford basically runs a press. Basically, that's how they win games, is winning, running the press. And when you're running the press against all seniors in Kansas with Kevin McCullough, I can't think of their guard, but their guard's a senior as well, really intelligent guy. That's not the kind of team that you want to run the press against. It's just Kansas got so many experienced guys, got so many people that are just more athletically gifted than Stanford. So I just don't think that their press, full court press style of basketball is a good matchup for Kansas. So I do think Kansas moves on versus Gonzaga in the next round. Okay, and in South Carolina versus Oregon, who Oregon also made a huge run to win their Pac-12 tournament. I definitely feel like South Carolina's a little bit of a gimmicky team. I just truly don't believe in them that much. Oregon has really gotten healthy at the right time, has some momentum going at the right time. I do feel like Oregon can pull off this win against South Carolina, and I have this upset here. Creighton versus Akron. Akron is ranked the 18th team on the top 24. I do feel like Creighton's a legitimate 3-seed. They're probably the best 3-seed in the NCAA bracket. They're very, very good. They got Trey Alexander. They got another guy that I can't think of, the guard, and Ryan Kalkbrenner. They're a very elite team, very good defensively. I really believe in them. I don't feel like they're upset watch worthy at all. I think they beat Akron. All right, and Texas versus University of Virginia or Colorado State University. I do feel like Texas comes out of that matchup. They got a really good center that's going to give those slow-paced teams issues, and they got overall good scoring as well. So I do feel like Texas would come beat whoever is that 10 seed, and I honestly feel like those 10 seeds are pretty weak. I don't really believe in those teams. Tennessee beats the 15 seed. St. Peter's, this level of Tennessee greatness is just not going to be beaten by St. Peter's. All right. Let's move back to the top of the Midwest bracket. We got Purdue versus TCU. TCU doesn't really have a lot of length at the center position. Guarding Zach Edey, 7'4". It's not much more complicated than that. Don't overcomplicate that. TCU is a great matchup for Purdue. All right, and Kansas versus Gonzaga, I do think that Hunter Dickinson would give them issues because Gonzaga's strength is their centers and their power forwards. I do feel like Kansas might be overblowing Kansas's issues because they lost so early in the conference tournament, but because they weren't healthy, it just hasn't been a good look. I feel like people are a little overblowing it. Yes, they now have great depth, but I do feel like they would beat this Gonzaga team here and make it to the Sweet 16. All right, let's go ahead and go Creighton versus Oregon. Oregon, man, they've got a really good center, Dabute, but facing Kalkbrenner, who averages 3 blocks a game, all Big East center, basically their best. Well, I mean, I would have Klingon as a better personal center, but I do feel like Kalkbrenner is a really elite center. They got Trey Alexander. They got another guy that I can't think of off the top of my head. This is a really great Creighton team. I definitely feel like they're in a different level than Oregon. And I do feel like Tennessee also is at a different level of Texas. They got great size, Dalton-necked, passing, great defense. I feel like Texas, even though it has good scoring, I feel like they would really get shut down by Tennessee. And I don't feel like it would be a close game, honestly. All right, let's go ahead and go to the back of the top of this bracket. Purdue versus Kansas. I do feel like this is where the bench issues, where they have a weak bench, really will play into it here because Purdue is a pretty good, solid bench team. I do feel like Zach Edey against Hunter Dickinson would negate Hunter Dickinson's usual strength, which is his ability to score in every center that he faces because he's always taller than him. I feel like that Zach Edey would dominate that matchup. I do feel like Purdue would show that they're the better team here. Man, what a great game Creighton versus Tennessee would be. Oh my goodness. These two teams could make the Final Four in some other brackets. These two teams are seriously good. This would be a great game. I do think that Creighton's guard scorers are really solid. You know, Tennessee's got Dalton Necht, who's also a really big time bucket getter. I do think Tennessee's overall role 1 through 8 got a great forward depth. Forward guys can really score, and their point guards are really great passer. I feel like Creighton versus Tennessee would be a great game. I do feel like Tennessee would win. All right, then we got Tennessee versus Purdue. This would be a phenomenal game. I do think that Tennessee, scoring wise, though, I think that they can have some issues with Dalton Necht sometimes against high level teams, where if he's not scoring super well or their overall complementary pieces are not scoring as well. They do have some issues. So I do think that in a really great game, Purdue versus Tennessee, I do think Purdue would come out of this game, be a really great game, come down to 5 points. If you think Tennessee would win, perfectly comfortable with that. All right. So time to get to the Final Four. Let's go ahead and go through the East and West side of the things, and that's going to be UConn versus North Carolina. Now, this is basically my national championship, in my opinion. I think this is the best two teams in the country. It would be one heck of a game. I feel like the deciding factor, though, is Armando Bacot's a great center, but giving up 4 inches to Donovan Clingan, who's an amazing rim defender, is a real issue. The overall spacing that they have. And Stephon Castle. Stephon Castle shuts the lights off defensively for people, and he would give RJ Davis issues. Their defensive strengths are the exact North Carolina offensive strengths. I do feel like because of those reasons, I do think UConn would come out of that game in a really great game. Man, I really hope those two teams face each other. All right, then we got Marquette versus Purdue in the other bracket, on the other side of the Final Four. You know, Zach Edey, 7'4", their 3-point shooting, their overall. Zach Edey's also gotten better when you trap Zach Edey and, you know, try to double team him. He's gotten better as a passer for sure this year. He's better than last year. This is not the same Purdue team that, you know, took that early loss last year. And Marquette, they got a 6'10 center, man, versus 7'4 best player in college basketball, Zach Edey. This is a tough matchup. This is a very tough matchup for Oso Igbaro. I do think Purdue pulls this game off and they make it to the national championship. I do have UConn versus Purdue in the national championship. The deciding factor, man, is poor Zach Edey's got to play Donovan Clingan, who's, in my opinion, the best defensive center in the NBA. It's going to give them issues. They won't be forced to trap Zach Edey and give the other players easy three-point shots. And if they're not giving Zach Edey easy three-point shots, then their offense can stall. And I feel like that's the answer to Zach Edey is, can you just guard Zach Edey one-on-one so you're not giving up all these open three-point shots to a really good three-point shooting team? And I do feel like UConn would come out of this game in a really good game. I do feel like UConn would be the national champions. It would be great. I definitely feel like college basketball is, it'd be crazy because they did win last year. But, you know, college basketball-wise, I definitely feel like UConn deserved this overall number one seed. I definitely feel like UConn would come out of this. And I think they would be the first back-to-back champions since Florida, since Joakim Noah, Al Horford, and Corey Brewer, unless Jalen Brunson in that group in Villanova won back-to-back. But it's been a while. It's been a while since this happened. I do feel like North UConn's the best team on paper, in my opinion, and I feel like this would be a really close game, but I do think UConn would win it all. So yeah, this is my my March Madness special. This is the end of the March Madness special. I'm really thankful that anybody listened to this. Hopefully it helped you make your brackets better. If you didn't have one of those top six teams, you know, remember those statistical things are really important. And, you know, these eye test things really important as well. And, you know, let's all just enjoy the glorious of the March Madness bracket as well. And I will be making a March Madness bracket where my dog basically chooses the best team that may resemble dog logos. So if my dog does beat my March Madness bracket, I will say on this podcast that Michael Jordan's a better player than LeBron James. Okay. All right. Peace out. Everybody have a great week. Thanks for listening. We'll get back to normal pretty soon where we're doing the full game breakdowns and things of that nature that I normally do. Just want to give you guys a little special of March Madness breakdowns. Peace out. Have a great week.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.